I believe that completes the habitat portion of the project. And Mr. Travelstead? Yes? Your guest has arrived. Did you want to? Okay. Ms. Porter. And then Mr. Jackson. We're going to handle them all anyway. We just, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Pleasure to be here. Commissioner and Associate Commissioners, more than 25 years I've been appearing before you as Director of Virginia Seafood Council on behalf of the packers and processors of Virginia Seafood and some harvesters and some aquaculturists. And today is my last appearance in that capacity. I think it is probably the last appearance for a couple of you today also, probably. I just feel there's some unfinished business that I want to bring to you, and I'll be forwarding my comments to the Colonel of the Army Corps of Engineers, the Governors of Virginia and Maryland, the Virginia Secretary of Natural Resources, and our congressional delegation. In April 2009, the two governors and the colonel voted to abandon non-native oyster projects in Virginia and adopt the alternative in the PEIS, the Programmatic Environmental Impact Study, to restore the native oyster. Restoration was to be accomplished by pumping $50 million per year for 10 years into restoration efforts in Virginia, for a total of $500 million or half a billion dollars over 10 years. And that comes, of course, after the federal government had spent $15 million to develop the PEIS. We are happy with the progress that's happening in Virginia in the oyster resource. We acknowledge that we gained enormous amounts of knowledge about growing oysters through the non-native work, and we are grateful for that. We are seeing a gradual increase in the volume of oysters being harvested in Virginia, but we're nowhere near reaching historic levels, nor are we able to meet market demand. I think the whole process ended the day the vote was taken on the PEIS, the alternative. I have never seen publication of the FPEIS, have you, Commissioner? I do not think the final PEIS has ever been published. And I certainly haven't seen any of the money. We need to be reminded of the value of a large, healthy oyster population to the cleanup of the bay, and needless to say, the value of a thriving oyster industry to the economy of the Commonwealth. The real question is, who is in charge? I honestly don't know. While completing the PEIS was a long and hard road, implementing the alternative choice is much harder. Who is going to do that? Who is going to secure the funding, plan the strategies, direct the science? Who is going to follow the vision? Were we encouraged to invest heart and soul, millions of dollars, hours and hours of hard labor for naught? Or is the state of Virginia serious about restoring the native oyster industry? I know you don't have the answers, but I want you to be thinking about this subject. It seems to me that if a myriad of federal and state agencies could come together to conduct the research and produce the PEIS, then those same agencies ought to be able to come together to execute the alternative of choice. So thank you for hearing me on this subject. Thank you for the many times you have respectfully listened when I've spoken to you through the years. And thank you to your staff members who are always friendly, courteous, and helpful. The new Seafood Council director is Kimberly Husky. She is here with me today. She's on the job and prepared to work with you in any way possible.
Frances, you're not getting away that easy. Hold on just a second. I know by listening to you and those comments you just made, how much passion and heart you put in to that project. I know that. We were in that fight together, as was a number of other different individuals. And for you to use that as your swan song today, for lack of a better term, from an impact perspective, I know how much it means to you. Jack will brief a little bit later today about the workings that we have as far as the native oyster is concerned. We had a very good meeting yesterday with the Corps of Engineers, as well as some other NGOs, to continue to strive to ensure that from a collective Bay perspective that the native oyster situation is addressed. It's a tough job, tough recipe to have come out and make a good cake with. It's a lot of different moving parts. We realize that. But I just wanted to comment on the fact that I know how important that industry and that animal is to you. In addition, I'd like to commend you. I've known you for almost 18 years now in this job. Didn't realize I knew you from the other side of the county before. On the job that you have done as Executive Director of the Virginia Seafood Council, you have been a true gentle lady the entire time. You have been a true ambassador and advocate for your constituency, and you did it in a manner that was always one that, where we didn't always agree, we always worked to a common goal. And that didn't always happen. I think a lot of that has to do with the with your character, and it's a direct tribute to you. So I will tell you this, I'm going to miss you. And ma'am, you've got some big shoes to follow and to fill, I can assure you that. And I'm sure you'll do well because we'll help you along the way. But Francis, we're going to miss you, and you deserve every bit of appreciation that we and anyone associated with the seafood industry in the Commonwealth of Virginia can provide you. With that, thank you. Kimberly, would you like to address the commission?
No, sir.
Okay. We don't bite, I promise. Anyone else wish to be heard of public comments? Mr. James.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner.
Yes, sir. And good afternoon to you, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner Bowman and members of the commission. My name is Ellis James. I reside in the city of Norfolk. I would like to take a moment, if with your permission, and speak to the commitment and dedication of the gentle lady. I have not known Frances personally, but I know well of her good works, and I really appreciate you adding those comments, and I would like to endorse her concern, and I'm hoping that when Mr. Travelstead gives the review this afternoon that we'll see some encouraging signs. I need to address you on something that deeply concerns me, and I will try to be fair about this. There is something afoot that will impact in the long run VMRC's role in the Commonwealth. And let me frame it quickly for you. Governor McDonnell has now indicated clearly that he will not activate the Climate Change Commission. There is a lot of excellent, intelligent, hard work that has gone into that and some of the recommendations. Regardless of where you are on the spectrum of whether you agree with those recommendations or not, I think it would be a shame to lose that hard work. Now, at the same moment this morning, we heard from our good secretary. And in jest, I'm sure, but there was an undercurrent that was troubling. He said he was sure that the climate change report was around here somewhere. He didn't recall reading it or reviewing it. Hello. One would think that an incoming new secretary would want to at least apprise himself of the situation as it impacts especially the Chesapeake Bay. Now, my concern is this, and the question obviously on your minds at this moment must be, well, how in the world does Ellis expect to tie this to the commission? It's beginning to look like VMRC is the last major important line of defense on a number of issues, not the least of which Francis has just addressed. If that be the case, and if we continue down this road of indifference or dismissal of the issues that we are all confronted with, then we've got a problem. Now, I speak for a city that is already experiencing sea level rise. Norfolk is right on the bullseye of the target. But so is Bocosin. And so are other communities, not the least of which is Tangier Island. And so I believe personally, over and above being a commissioner in Norfolk on the Environmental Commission and a member, proud member of the Sierra Club, I have a real concern for our children and our grandchildren when it comes to this issue about how we're going to, at least in a common sense way, approach the decisions that are going to be, many of them, tough decisions that we have to make concerning the Chesapeake Bay and the tributaries and the oysters and everything else that will be impacted. I thought about it on the way across today, how I would try to approach this. But I think I've done what is the simplest and the most important way, and that is to call upon you to continue to exercise your common sense, your good oversight, and although I may not agree with all of your decisions, that's not the point. You do work hard. You do try to protect the Commonwealth. I believe that. And I hope that going forward, that if we have a downturn, as it appears to be occurring, in the commitment to the climate aspects of what this commission addresses each meeting, I hope that you will continue to do that good hard work and help to protect us against those who don't seem to understand or get it or have the knowledge that they ought to have. Thank you, Mr. Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. James. For the comments and public comments, Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to note that I had the benefit last week of attending the National Coastal Marine Spatial Planning Conference in Washington. The CMSP conference is essentially one of the implementation steps in the President's National Ocean Policy, and I wanted to point out that this commission was very capably represented and well represented by Rob O'Reilly, who attended the meeting also. But as the ocean policy goes into the implementation phase, ostensibly it would create regional planning bodies. Those regional planning bodies would be engaged in the development of regional ocean plans. I think those plans should be of interest to all of us who have interest in fisheries and their management. I think it's important in the long run that that this commission have an appropriate role in that process. Additionally, at the regional fishery management council level, we have requested representation in that process to ensure that fisheries considerations are taken into account during the development of these ocean plans. Meanwhile, on a separate track, BOMER, the federal agency formerly known as MMS, is moving on a very fast track with the proposed offshore leases of areas for offshore energy development. And that's another area of interest and concern from a fisheries perspective. But I just wanted to raise this issue for the benefit of those that may not have followed it as closely. But the agency was well represented by Mr. O'Reilly last week.
Thank you very much for that compliment. Mm-hmm. I knew it would be, or he wouldn't have been there, I can assure you. Further comments? Thank you. We will be in recess until about 12:45.